Welcome back to the Parenting as Christ Ambassador ATS series. I always try to keep an image of the crown in my PowerPoint presentations. It reminds me of really what this is all about. King Jesus and his reign and rule over our lives and over the lives of our children, right? He's the king, and what he says goes. And so we do this morning, as we look this morning, is going to be the subtitle, Loving and Raising Girls for Christ's Glory and for Their Good. There's a set of notes in the back, so you can grab those. They are longer, don't worry. It's still going to be the same amount of time. I'll wait until there's more people, but let me start off with an introduction then, as we wait for people to come in, that hopefully illustrates the main theme of this morning. The Olympic Games. Shay, does it help in terms of the outline with the highlights? Shay and I are going to work this out just for a moment here, guys. Bear with us. Go back one, Shay. All right, Olympics. Michael Phelps. Anyone remember Michael Phelps? Oh, yeah. What was his claim to fame? Swimming. Gold medal winner, right, Alvin? I had a chance to hear him in person soon after the 2008 Beijing Olympics. He had won 8 gold medals that year. 8. And one of the interesting questions that they were talking to him about was, in that prior year to the Olympics, how many days off did you take? Any guesses? People said, none, right? None. Not Christmas, not New Year's, not his mom's birthday. 0 days out of the pool. That's what it took for him to strive for the 8 gold medals. It was an intentional, purposed pursuit. More recently, Chloe Kim. Anyone know her claim to fame? Snowboarding. Yeah. All right, Shay, next slide. So there she is, 17 years old, gold medal winner. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Winter Olympics. It's funny for me because I'm totally ignorant. You know, I watch curling. You guys see curling? And I think, how hard could that possibly be? And of course, I'm looking at snowboarding going, that looks effortless too. Never having got onto snowboard before. I'm a spectator, and that's a scary thing sometimes, isn't it? Because you think it's way easier than it really is. Well, hers was a glorious gold medal win. You can read about it if you wish. But what was interesting to me was a comment of one article, quote, it was her father who stole the show. It was her father who stole the show, becoming the American dream. Anyone know anything about the story of their family? Immigrant family. They come to the United States for a better life, education, hard work. He reaches the pinnacle. He's an engineer. He notices that his daughter has a talent, and he quits his engineering job to dedicate himself fully to her training. They drive 6 hours one way every weekend so that she can snowboard. To them, it was a total family commitment, intentional, purposed dedication to a goal. And so that's what I wanted to talk about this morning as well, is that as we spend time together this morning, every one of us, no matter where you are in your place of raising girls or influencing the next generation, that we leave this morning asking Jesus, what does it look like for me to be a little bit more intentional, a little bit more purposed, a little bit more dedicated to the goal of raising girls for Christ's glory and the next generation? And if you think about it just for a moment, can you name off all the gold medal winners from this last Winter Olympics? Anybody? It was just last month. You probably hardly remember it, right? How about 12 years ago or 24 years? It fades. These medals will fade. What we're doing and what we're talking about this morning, it'll never fade. These are eternal things, not only for the girls themselves, but for the influence that they will have themselves for generations to come. So I'm glad you're here this morning. We're going to take a look at something that is a hard thing. As one meme put it, it's the first 40 years of parenting that are the most difficult, right? It's going to be hard work, but may we not lose heart. May we be faithful, immovable, ever abounding in the work of the Lord. This morning, the outline is on your side there in your notes. We're going to look at what it means to actively lay a biblical foundation. What does it mean to be purposed, to be intentional daily in our instruction and discipline? And I'm going to call each of us to be committed to nurturing the relationships that will allow this to happen. This morning will be totally unbalanced. I'm going to tell you right up front. We're going to go super fast in the beginning. It's kind of like a bell curve. Have you ever seen those bell curves where it's kind of flat, a big hump, and then flat again? I'm going to go fast in the beginning. We're going to spend the bulk of the time in the middle, and then I'm going to go fast at the end as well. So just enjoy the roller coaster ride. All right? So let's pray and see what God will do. Father, thank you for this morning. What a task. What a topic. Help us to hear you through the pages of Scripture as we consider what it means to raise girls in this time and in this age for Christ's glory, for their good. We all have a role. Whether we have daughters or not, we all have a role. And so I pray that you would help us this morning to hear from you, our King, and to be committed to leaving this place ready to be engaged, to be more purposed, to be more intentional in telling the next generation the glories of Christ. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So point one, actively lay a biblical foundation. Man, I read a ton of books for this morning, more books than a long time. And there's a lot of different authors out there that are very good, and you'll see some resources at the end later. One of the authors that I read said, I'm fully aware of the volatility of this topic, but my primary concern is to present a biblical foundation of womanhood. She goes on to say, I can give you a checklist. I can give you a list of things to do and not do. That, however, is like shifting sand. Any discussion of femininity, I've been practicing that word and I still can't get it, femininity, must be driven by God's word or will lack substance, integrity, and longevity. So I want to start with the obvious. I know this is obvious, but I think it's very difficult. It's kind of like watching snowboarding on TV. You think it's easy to talk about, it's easy to watch, but the trick is getting the snowboard on and getting on the mountain, right? It's actually doing something. So laying a biblical foundation, what do we want our girls to know and understand from God's word about his design for them and his purpose? Well, I think you know the obvious. God created women, young girls, to reflect his glory and the gospel. And isn't that amazing? His glory. All you got to do is look back at Genesis. We have been in the evening series. If you haven't been there, I encourage you, come to evening service to hear how it all began and how God intended it all to start. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Isaiah 43, as you see in your notes, what an amazing text. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory. God created our young women for his glory. And in the passage in Ephesians that we've been looking at throughout the series, you know that one day for those that get married, their relationship with their husband is to reflect the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came and laid his life down for sinners like you and me. Their marriage is to picture the gospel. And so we have the opportunity, as one author shared, to declare to the world that the Bible is true. That's what our girls get to do with their lives, that the Bible is true, that Jesus is real, and that the gospel is the power of God to change lives. And that's from a book called Girl Talk. God created women to reflect his glory in the gospel. God created women to be equal in value with men. They are equal in value. They both reflect his image. Read Proverbs 31, and you see the great esteem and value placed on women, especially a woman who fears the Lord. She's to be praised. And as 1 Peter 3 says, they're fellow heirs of the grace of life. They were created to have equal value with men. Now here's the one that the world does not like. God created women to be complementary to men in role and responsibility, but different in role and responsibility. Even the passages in Genesis that we touched on briefly, They're going to tell us that they are made to reflect God's glory, that they're equal in terms of imaging God, but they have different roles. The world hates this message, and this is where we have to stand firm for their good and for Christ's glory. As an example, as just one example, if you look at Titus and Timothy, and I have those passages in your notes for you, you're going to see the amazing opportunity our young women have to influence the world, to be involved in ministry, to be a part of what God's doing through His church. But those same authors are going to tell our young ladies that the role of an elder, who's that designed for? I see all your lips moving. You can say it out loud. For men. For men. I mean, yes. Male, and we'll stop there. Yeah. Yeah. the role of the elder. Yeah. That's true. The world will tell them there should be no distinction in what you can do. Right? But the Bible says there are different roles that are set apart for men, that men are to lead in the church. And there's a certain way that God wants worship to be done in the church. And it's His church. He's the King. So we want to lay a foundation of what the Bible teaches. And your time in the Word and in prayer has to be intentional, and it has to be purpose. At home and in church, and you see there are a number of things. Again, I believe that because you're here, you know these things, right? You want to be in the Bible together, to read devotionals and biographies. Phil just encouraged us, for example, during Missions Month. Read good biographies. Be encouraged by the saints before us. Watch movies together and then talk about it. We just had a recent experience, my poor kids. So we ruined Coco for them because throughout the movie, we're giving a commentary about, that's a lie. That's not true. They're like, can we just enjoy the movie, Dad? It's a cartoon. But talk through the movies, right, of what the message is and what the Bible says. Be in ministries together. And the key word in all this is do it together. Do it together. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let me illustrate this from our physical diets. So if you have a diet mostly of fast food, notice all the brown, and then a little bit of baby carrots. Go ahead, Shay. Is that really going to do any good? Right? And I think we think about that. We forget that that's what we do sometimes spiritually. The world is bombarding our girls with their messages, and we give them a little bit of baby carrots. We give them a little bit of the Word. And the encouragement this morning is be purpose and intentional to bring the Word of God to your girls. It starts with us. It starts with us. Our times in God's Word, our times in prayer. And so I would challenge you, even as you consider what it looks like for us to invest in the next generation. How about you? How about me? What are we doing to lay a biblical foundation in our own hearts and minds? I put a resource on there that I think a lot of people forget, right on our own website. Great sermons. I was just browsing through them. There's so many on the role of men and women, about the design of God. Take a look when you go home this week and listen to some of these sermons to be reminded of what it means to live in God's great design and for His purposes. So let's lay a biblical foundation in our lives and in the lives of the young women that God has entrusted to us. May we not be spectators. May we not be spectators. Be purposed in our daily instruction and discipline. Apply to everyday life what you're teaching her in the Word. So we lay the foundation through devotions, through times at church, through listening to sermons together. And then the challenge is, how do we take the Word of God and apply it to everyday life? Our call to them is to worship and to obedience to Christ. Romans 12:1-2. And I can't remember, did I put the whole thing in the outline for you guys? I did. All right, can somebody read that for me? Nice and loud. I'm going to grab an outline. So we want to urge them. After we teach them what the Word of God says about who He is and what He's done, we want to call them and challenge them to obey and to worship the Lord, to give their lives to Him, not be conformed by the world, right? And the world is constantly trying to conform our young ladies into something different than what God has for them. And so we want to apply to everyday life what we're teaching in the Word. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Point B, as you shepherd the heart, because our goal is not to be legalistic about this, but just pause for a moment And think about your daughter's life or the lives of the young ladies that you're involved with in ministry or in this church family. What is it that they do with their time? They got 24 hours, 7 days a week. What is it that they do with their time? What do they watch? What do they listen to? What do they spend their money on? Right? For those that have allowances or have money. What is it that they do? And what does that reveal about their hearts? Where are they in their walk with God? What does it look like for them to apply the word in everyday life for them, in small decisions and in big decisions? Our challenge is to listen well, point C, to be good question askers. I've learned in my experience, both here as a pastor, but also when I was doing wealth management, we're not as good a listener as we think we are. For those that are more passive, we were talking about that in a previous class, some of us are just more passive. We don't ask a lot of questions and we don't listen very well because we're just not engaged, right? For those that are more type A, you're more intentional, we may not ask a lot of questions and listen because we got a lot to say, right? We have a lot we need to say, and it's hard to stop and listen. And so the encouragement from James 1 applies to all of us. Be quick to hear. Be quick to listen to our girls. And if my experience is like anybody else's, they have a lot to say, especially late at night when you're tired, right? They have a lot to say. I asked my girls to be here, by the way. So my three girls are here. I told them specifically I wanted them to hear what it is that Bernie and I are trying to do. And the scary thing, a little bit later in this message, I'm going to challenge you to ask your girls some questions. And so I know that at the end they're going to be asked, well, where does Daddy fall short on even the things that I'm teaching? But what an opportunity, right? Just as a side note, for those that heard any of Billy Graham's funeral memorial, one of the things that really struck me was one of his kids, you guys are nodding your heads, you know what I'm going to say? There were not two Billy Grahams. You guys hear that? The Billy Graham that the world saw was the same Billy Graham that we had at home. Man, that's awesome, right? And that's what I pray I am as well, that if I'm teaching up here these things, that I am humble enough to ask my girls, all right, let's make sure there's not two dads, right? There's not two Thomases. So they're here, and they'll probably laugh a little bit along the way. I did ask permission, right, to share some of these stories. So know that when it becomes a cringe-worthy moment. Here's what you can do for wherever you are. When you get home, ask a question. How do you think I do when it comes to listening to you? Let's see what they say. And be ready to excel still all the more. What an opportunity to listen to your daughter's hearts and to the girls that you're ministering to. We do expect obedience and honor. We expect it because God expects it. And again, we'll see that a little bit later. But it's going to take a lot of time and energy to shepherd them through what may be very difficult years. So with that, we want to be present, be available and engaged. There's no shortcut to this. My encouragement is you've got to make the time. It won't just happen. Have you figured that out yet, Mom and Dad? It will not just happen. You have to be intentional, deliberate about cutting things out so that you have time and I have time for my girls. And not only time, but energy. Because I am an introvert and I get tired. Not only do I run out of words, I run out of listening ability to words. And so if I'm exhausted when they need to talk, that's not a good thing. I want to be available and engaged. Children's ministry, I think, Jeremy, this is what we try to remind our workers, right? Much is caught, not just taught. They're going to catch how we live our lives. They're going to see what we're like when we're together. And so I wanted to encourage us. What is it that they see when they are with us, when we're present? What do I do with my time? What do I watch? What do I listen to? What do I spend my money on? They're going to catch that probably more than what we say, right? Point three. This is a bell curve now. So I got us really fast. I warned you I was going to go fast, and now we're going to do the bell curve. This is where we're going to spend a bunch of time. Combat the lies directly and aggressively. You have a quote there from another book that I read during this preparation. The progression to spiritual and emotional bondage begins by simply listening to something that is not true. You just have to be close enough to listen to the lie. And it began long ago, right? It's chapter 3 of Genesis. Eve listened to the father of lies and was deceived. And the hope and the promise we have is that Jesus came to give us the truth because he is the truth, the way and the life, and that the truth will not only set us free, but will set our girls free. And so as you turn the page in your outline, I have a little chart here. And this is where I really want to spend some time so that we can look together at the Word of God and what does the Word of God say. But we'll take a step back and just consider, what is it that the world is telling our girls? What is it that they are hearing and being exposed to? The first box there is true beauty. So we'll do this one together, okay? So I'll give you a moment here to consider. What is the world telling our young ladies true beauty is or isn't? What is the world telling our young ladies true beauty is or isn't? How is that message spread? And what does the Bible say is true? Does that make sense what we're going to try to do? I see some nodding heads. Yeah? All right. So let me give you a couple minutes just to work on it on your own first, and then we'll do this one together. All right. I know we only did it for a couple minutes. They say, one quote that I was looking at is, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It's not the not being aware. This author says, it is the illusion of knowledge. It's when you think you know. That's actually a deadlier enemy. And so this is where the lies come in, right? Because our girls think they know what's true because they're being constantly fed this. And so we need to combat that with what really is real. So with that, true beauty. What does the world tell our young ladies true beauty is or is not? Carrie, it's outward. Yeah. Can you build on that a little bit? Outward in what sense? The right hair, the right clothes, the right jewelry. I just lost it right from the very beginning, the right hair. I'm done. It's outward. What else? What else might you add on the outward? Anyone else think of things? Michael.
Immodest dress.
Tight-fitting clothes, really clothes. Yeah. Alluring clothing. Tight-fitting, potentially. Revealing. Yeah. Okay. Sure. And how I saw that in the work world, for example, is over my career, the ladies' dress became more and more like the men's dress. Because right? They're the boss. They're just as powerful. They're just as good. So there were outward symbols of that as well. Whitney. Absolutely. So Whitney commented very insightfully, now, you're beautiful when you don't look like a traditional woman, right? Traditionally, what was considered beautiful woman is no longer. What are some examples of that, maybe? Yeah, being androgynous. Can't even tell, right? Look in such a way that you can't tell because sexuality doesn't matter. There's no male and female, and so you can look like either. And the more you look like either, the better. Right, so that's the message that they're hearing. Anything else on true beauty? Son? Okay. So it's interesting, right? Because on one hand, it could be perhaps long hair, jewelry, beautiful nails, alluring clothing. On the other hand, it could be look like a male because there's no distinction. All of it based on the externals. True beauty is what's on the outside, right? And where are they hearing this message?
Bob.
As he points his finger at me. Right? Yes! TV, advertising, commercials, social media, their friends, their teachers, yes, their teachers, absolutely. In the education system, don't be fooled, absolutely. Taylor. Except for Greg. Except for Greg. Thank you. You're absolutely right. I need to totally be careful. Not all, but be careful because there are many, potentially. Taylor. Okay. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that too. So there's this other thing that's internal. Your true self. Be your true self, right? And we're going to look at that in a moment. But the messaging is everywhere. It's on their laptops, it's on their phones, it's on their TVs, it's when they go to school, it's when they go to the malls, it's when they hang out with friends. It can even be in the church. It can even be in the church, right? And so the message is being bombarded to them about what true beauty is. And now what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? God looks at the heart, right? God looks at the heart. What passages come to mind? Were you able to take a moment to look at some of the passages of Scripture? What comes to mind for you? This is what Bernie's going to do. I want to make sure you have the Bible passages. So all she's going to do is write down the Bible passages so that you can jot those down. Dina. I'm going to pause you, okay, Dina? Because I want people to go there. So let's turn to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, I'm assuming you're going to read part of verses 1 through 6, Dina? Part of that, right? Is that what you're going to do? Look at that, we're on the same page. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6, Dina, nice and loud.
In the same way, you wives be submissive.
Thank you, Dina. According to this text, according to God, what is true beauty? A gentle and quiet spirit. The hidden person of the heart, right? What Chuck was saying earlier, the heart. Who are you on the inside? What else? Right there in the text.
Submission.
You wouldn't think that, would you? We'll see that in just a little bit in a moment here. Submission is beautiful. According to God, it is. Right? What else? What else is it and is it not according to God? Let's go here first, Mandy. Yeah, again, your behavior that flows from your heart. And chaste and respectful is what Mandy said. And then I think over here, women who hope in God. They put their hope in God and not the approval of men and women. Their hope is on the Lord, who He is and what He's done. It's not necessarily about the externals. It's not about the braiding of hair or wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. It's about who they are on the inside. And what an opportunity we have to counter the lies that are being bombarded against our girls with the truth of God's word. And to say, this is what true beauty is. It's knowing Jesus. It's knowing what's important to Him. It's putting your hope in Him. It's precious in the sight of God. Verse 4. You can add there as well 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. And you can look at that, a very similar text. Two different authors saying very similar things. True beauty is to behold and reflect the beauty of God. That is what our girls have the opportunity to reflect as they look in the mirror each day. Do they spend more time looking in the mirror trying to make themselves look beautiful? Or do they spend more time in the Word of God so that they might reflect His glory and His majesty? What is it that our girls are giving themselves to? Our wardrobes, one author says, is a public statement of our heart motivation. Our wardrobes reflect what we believe in the heart about who God is and who we are. So what a privilege it is to be able to tell our girls, here are the lies that you're being bombarded with, but here's the truth of God's word. True beauty that will not only cause you to be beautiful, but will be a witness to who God is and His gospel. Does that make sense what we're doing on these charts? All right, so let me do this for the next three that you have. If you're an introvert, you can just put your head down and start working. I understand what it's like when you just want to work on your own. And if you're an extrovert, just look up and all the other extroverts will be looking around. But you can work in groups if you want. I want to give you just a couple of minutes to work on some of these other ones. Don't worry about the category. Well, does it fit in this category or does it fit in that category? That's not the point. Just consider, what are some of the lies that our girls are hearing and being subjected to day in and day out? And what's the truth? And that's what I really want to make sure of, is that we leave here having passages that we can look at later. What are the lies around true purpose, true worth, and true joy? All right, so if you want to work in groups, just look up and look around for the people who are also, we can see people are moving towards each other, all the extroverts are moving together now. Introverts are trying to put their heads down so no one sees them. I'll need you later. And there's no judgment. Whether you're extrovert or introverted, there's no judgment, all right? Shay, thank you for doing that. Are you able to follow pretty easily? Okay. All right, I know that there's not enough time, but just to get started, and right when you get warmed up, I'm going to interrupt you. So let's take a look at this. And again, the categories, I'm not so concerned about that. Does it really fit in worth, or is that purpose? Let's just talk about some of these things, and we'll try to stay on one set of lies first at a time for the sake of being able to follow each other. So true worth, true worth. What are some of the lies that our girls are being bombarded with about their worth? Love yourself, self-confidence. Thank you, Julia. Yes, you get a lot of attention, and that's where your worth comes from. And that attention can come from there you go, yeah. Be popular, friendships, and now this whole social media comes into play, right? How many friends do I have? Are people responding to my posts? That's the world they live in. What else about their worth? Okay. So encourage you to go for the power, Greg. Your job. Yeah. So your worth comes from your job, your position, your accomplishments. Sorry, Kurt? Or your education. Education can be a good thing, but it could be the foundation of their worth, right? You need to be educated. High school, college, post doctorate, whatever it might be. Yes, Herb. Yeah, your worth comes from being independent. Not only true to yourself, but not needing other people. I don't need anybody else to take care of me. I can stand on my own. Right? So all these different messages, and where are they coming from? Just so that we have an awareness. Where are these messages coming from? Schools again, but not Greg. Other place. I'm looking out for you, man. Poor guys, like. Yes, Tammy said it can come from us, parents, Christian and non-Christian alike, basing their worth on what they do and don't do, their accomplishments in education, in sports, even in Christian activities, right? Cindy. Not that you have strong opinions about this, right, Cindy? Yeah. just saying. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. So let me repeat back what you were saying. Cindy said it's pervasive, it's media. It could start really young with Disney movies, and they can be fun, but their messaging is often, be true to yourself, you don't have to listen to your parents. Matter of fact, most likely you're right and they're wrong. Your true worth comes from following your heart. Just follow your heart, right? And so we have to be mindful that this is the messaging that they're getting from a very young age. What's the truth of God's word when it comes to their worth? What does the Bible say? Let me try to make sure I follow you, Frankie. We as parents have to remind ourselves they're not perfect little angels. They're not all good. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And so we have to start there. And from there, show them the gospel so that their worth is in what? To kind of follow through that. Give me passages, all right? I'm going to ask you guys to give me passages. So, Genesis. There you go. So foundational. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. You were made in the image of God. You were to reflect Him, right? Just like what we talked about at the very beginning of the class. That's your worth. God made you. You are His creation. Genesis 1 and 2, sure. What else? What are the... Becky. Yes. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. 1 to 10, probably. You're looking at verse 10 specifically, right? And I always say start at verse 1, verses 1 through 10. Who you are, you're a sinner, as Frankie said. God saved you, and not only did He save you, but He's prepared good works for you to do. And so that puts into context the accomplishments, right? Yes, we want them to accomplish things. We want them to work hard. But we want them to work hard in the things that God has given them to do. And when they do that, all the glory goes to God, not to them. Their worth is not in what other people say is good and not good. It's not in the praise and approval of man, but it's in knowing the one who created you, who saved you, and then gave you good works to do to please Him, to please Him. I know there's a lot of other ones that we can look at. The foundation of their worth is that God loves them. God created them. He loves them. I'll give you one from Zephaniah. When was the last time you looked at Zephaniah? I know the women had a devotional recently, so just tying it back to one of the things that Margaret talked. Zephaniah 3:17. Read it when you have a chance. What a passage of God's love for His people. That's an Old Testament reference. So then I'll give you Romans 8:37-39. And you know this because it's a memory verse, right? I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our worth is in the fact that God created us and that God loves us. And He gave Himself for us. And there's a lot of other texts that we can look at, but let me keep us moving for the purpose of this class. True purpose. True purpose. What did you come up with when it comes to their purpose in life? What's the world telling them is their purpose? Probably similar to the things we just talked about, but is there anything you might add to that? Andrew. Yeah. So some of the things we talked about in terms of following your own heart, your own dreams, you're the boss, and then Andrew tied it into, and then therefore submitting to somebody else is no good. Is no good, right? The blockbuster movies of our time, Wonder Woman, Hunger Games, what do they all have in common? Star Wars. Strong female lead. They are the heroines now, right? What do most of your cartoons that the kids watch have as the lead now? It's the little girls, right? Many of the cartoons, it's the little girls that are the bosses. And they know more than the boys, and they know more than the parents. That's what they're being bombarded with. And so to submit yourself to somebody else, why would you ever, ever do that? What's the Word of God say? All right, Ephesians 5. I'm assuming the end, right? Matthew 2. I'm sorry, Titus 2 and Matthew 28. And which part of Matthew 28 in particular, Michelle? 19 to 20. When you have a chance, look at these texts. They're going to tell our young ladies, you know what? Submission actually is a beautiful thing. And why is submission a beautiful thing? You know this, because we teach it all the time. Because it pictures God, right? Even within the relationship of the triune God, there's a beautiful picture, equal in value, equal in worth, and submission in roles and responsibilities. You actually picture God when you willingly, joyfully submit to the authorities in your life. And for our young women, that's going to include their parents and perhaps one day their husbands and their church leaders. Like all of us, really, with church leaders. But they are going to be called to submit. and it's going to picture God and who He is, and it's going to picture the gospel. Submission is a beautiful thing because it pictures Christ. And that's a message that is completely opposite to what the world's going to tell them. And we have to combat that with the truth. True joy. True joy. What's the world tell them in terms of where they're going to find joy? Where does your joy come from, according to the world? Possessions. Having wealth. Having things. How popular you are, right? Talk about what we mentioned earlier. Drugs and alcohol. Things that make you feel good. That help you escape from the realities of the world. I am now fishing for one thing. So, one thing that we haven't talked about too much of yet. Sophia. So joy in being equal, not being second-class citizens to anybody, and joy in living your best life now. Tammy? Yeah, that's what I was fishing for, right? Relationships. I will find joy in having a boyfriend. I will have joy in finding someone that loves me for who I am. I will find joy in having a spouse one day. In relationships, and then it quickly leads to I will have, and because of that, I'm willing to compromise with my purity, my sexual relationships. It can quickly lead to seeking joy in all the wrong places, right? And so we need to combat that. And I'm going to move us along now for right now, but what's the truth of God's word when it comes to where their joy is going to come from? Him. In God. In God, right? And what are some texts that would remind us of that? What are some texts so that when you tell your daughter, your joy is in the Lord, you can point them to some of the passages in the Bible that are dear to your heart too, I'm sure. Psalm 16:11. I don't have that one, Michael. What's that one say? That's amazing because it's right there on my text. Yes, I agree with that. Yes, true joy is found in God alone. Psalm 16:11. Thank you. Awesome. Love this man. We're on the same page. What else? Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in Him. He will give you the desires of your heart, my young daughter. What else? Man. That's okay. So read all of 1 Peter because you're going to find it there, okay? It's a good book. Matter of fact, that was a homework assignment for somebody else for me. So 1 Peter, there's joy inexpressible found in Christ. 1:6. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. I think I had in the back, yeah. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11. Did I just say that right? And that's an Old Testament text spoken to a specific people, but you can look at New Testament passages that will tell you very much the same thing. John 10, for example, Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have abundant life, and that He's speaking to His sheep, His people. So lots of different texts, and you can tell even that people are saying it right off the top of their head because you have to cling to these things. You have to cling to the reality that your joy is found in Christ, because everything around you is going to tell you otherwise. Everything around our girls is going to tell them otherwise. Find your joy in a boyfriend. Find your joy in your friends. Find your joy in the things other people are doing. It's all over the place. And so we have to combat these lies with the truth of God's word. I think the condemnation that we have, including myself, is most of us fall asleep at the wheel as our children are taken hostage by the world. We have to arise and fight the battle for their souls, right? There's some things that are not as serious. Some lies aren't so harmful. I was just reading this in the Reader's Digest. Some lies parents might say, we got our daughter to eat fish by calling it Argentinian chicken. If the ice cream truck is playing music, it means they've run out of ice cream. Right? Or one more, Shay. One child said, our parents used to tell my brother and me that we used to have another brother who turned into a mushroom for not taking a bath. And go ahead, Shay. And they even put the mushroom in family photos. All right? So we can kind of laugh about some small things that aren't going to be, but this one, these lies that we're talking about, true worth, true beauty, true purpose, true joy, if they believe the lies of the world, it equals death for them. It will lead to their destruction in this life, and more importantly, in the life to come. You have to fight. You have to combat the lies with the truth of God's word. All right, so that's the hump. Remember I told you it was going to be a bell curve, fast, linger, and then fast. So I'm going to push us through the rest of the text. Thank you, Bernie. We have to defend our daughters from evil. Fathers, you wouldn't stand idle if someone tried to nab your daughter in the mall and imprison her into a life of prostitution. You wouldn't. But how often we allow thieves to come into our own homes and take our girls, enslaving their thoughts and their hearts. We have the opportunity to defend our girls. All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to say nothing and do nothing. We have the opportunity to say no. Fathers in particular, learn to say no to protect your girls. Learn to say no. Ezekiel 34 is in your notes. Again, another Old Testament passage reminding us of how we can be shepherds that are looking out for our own selves more than the ones entrusted to our care. And so we have to be challenged as parents, mother and father alike. Or for those that don't have kids, you have a responsibility too. You're part of a church family with tons of girls. And I thank God for the spiritual aunts and aunties that my girls have in this church. You have the opportunity to invest and help these young ladies. Consider what are some of the reasons why we might not defend our girls spiritually. And I would say to you that it's often because we want what we want and we're afraid of what we're afraid of. Right? We want what we want. And we allow our wants and our fears to cause us to abdicate the responsibility to defend our girls. So defend our young daughters from evil. And finally, encourage, encourage, encourage. We need encouragement. We need to encourage them. It's for you and for me. This is not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy to fight this battle. It is a war for their hearts and souls. And so I want to remind you that you need encouragement, right? In our home fellowship group, we spend a lot of time just reminding one another, it's worth it. Don't grow weary in doing good. Keep on trusting Jesus. You need the encouragement, and our girls need the encouragement to live for God, because they will be swimming upstream all the time. And I see your hand. I'm going to push through, okay, Jalea, for right now. Commit to nurturing your relationships. Commit to nurturing your relationships. There's an old adage, right? They don't care much what you say until they know how much you care. And so I think that's very true. We want to make sure our girls know that we care for them. Commit to nurturing your relationship between the two of you as parents and as daughters. Make sure the main thing is the main thing. That our goal is to help raise them to know the love of God and for them to love God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. You have a quote there from one of the books, the mother-daughter relationship, and I would say the father-daughter relationship as well, is not primarily so we can feel comfortable, like each other, and get along. How many of us avoid conflict because we want them to like us? We want it to be comfortable. Engage in the conflict. It's worth it for their souls, right? Because it's about them loving God and about loving people. Do the hard things, mom and dad. Know that the relationship is going to change over time. We talked about that in a previous lesson. It's going to change. At the beginning, it's you just giving direction that they need to obey without question. Over time, you're going to train them to make their own decisions. And I was talking about this with one friend, and one day you're going to walk down the aisle with them potentially, right? And you want to have a good relationship with your daughter. It's going to change over time. Talk to her about what it means for her to be a daughter. And you see in your notes there, they are to honor you as unto the Lord, to be obedient. That's their responsibility right now. It's their primary responsibility is to honor you and to obey you. And God takes it seriously. And you have some text there, and there's many others, where God says how a young woman treats her parents, he takes extremely seriously because it reflects their heart toward toward authority and ultimately his authority. There's a little quiz there that I pulled from one of the books, and you can just think through this for yourself, and you can even ask your daughter, who is the first person they go to? What counsel and advice do they respect the most? You can ask your daughter, you can ask the young ladies that you disciple, these kind of questions, but the one that's most important is the one that wasn't in the book, and the one that I would ask us to consider, what can I do so that they come to me? What can I do so that I am the one that they come to first? For both father and mother, right? For both father and mother, what can I do so that they come to me first? And you avoid what Cindy was talking about, where they go to their friends looking for answers and advice. What does another 13-year-old know, right? Commit to nurturing her relationship with friends. Consider, what does it mean for her to be a friend? Who is she looking for in friends? And the main theme there, I would tell you, is get the focus off yourself. Because the more you focus on yourself, the more destructive that relationship is going to be. Get it focused on the right person. And don't forget that you have opportunities for gospel outreach in the friendships that you have. For us in our family, that meant picking and choosing events. And here's just something practical you're going to have to think through. Tammy was talking about different sporting events. We chose to be in some sporting events. And we had to figure out what are their practice schedules, what are their games, because we want to be involved so that they can build relationships with people that are not in the church, but we need to make sure that that doesn't overtake our lives, because it's so easy. Back when I was a kid, you did a sport for 3 months and you took a break. It's year-round now, isn't it? Right? It's year-round and you're traveling. We never traveled. But now it can control and completely take over your life. But you do want to have outlets to where they're building relationships with non-Christians. My son just had the opportunity to have his basketball coach over for dinner and his family. And their comments to us were, there's a difference. And that's what we want people to see, that there's a difference because we love Jesus. Commit to nurturing her relationship with friends, both Christian friends and non-Christian friends. And finally, commit to nurturing her relationship with a potential spouse, who she is to be as a wife, how she prepares for the future. And on that one, I just want to comment, they're not learning this anyplace else. Right? The schools aren't teaching this anymore in terms of how to cook, how to take care of things. The Mother's Club ministry, EBW, the mentoring ministry for women, those are wonderful places for our young ladies and for you to learn, what does it mean to be a homemaker? What does it mean to be a mom? What does it look like to take care of the home, which is going to be one of your primary responsibilities later? Again, for us, it meant putting our schedule to reflecting our values. So our girls, they do a variety of things, but among them is they have to prepare a meal once a week. They figure out the ingredients. They go shopping with mom. They cook. It's just one example. Does your schedule, does your calendar reflect your values about what your girls need to know and learn? And I do want to make a comment that we need to also prepare them that God might have them be single and or without children. But what a wonderful opportunity they have. I asked one of the lady leaders in our church about this, and this is the text that she took me to, and I think it's a great one. There's a reminder there in 1 Timothy 5 of the immense influence and opportunities our single women might have, or even the married women who don't have kids, to show hospitality, to wash the feet of the saints, to assess those in distress, to be devoted to every good work for the glory of Christ. So there's a bell curve. I told you, right? Fast, lingered, fast. In conclusion, what will you do now? What will you do now? And I'll wrap it up by tying it to the beginning. As I was leaving this morning, it was dark and cold. I wasn't quite done with the lesson, so I came into the church early. As I was driving, I was thinking to myself, it would be dangerous if there was somebody walking around without any lights on them. Of course, no one has lights on them. But as I was saying that, my neighbor was walking across the street, and I thought, what is he doing up this early? And then the answer quickly came into view as my headlights hit him. He had a snowboard under his arm. He was going up to the snow because there's nice powder up there. He was willing to get up early. I don't know anything about his waking up habits, but it just hit me that here's a person who perhaps sleeps in on Sundays, but was willing to get up super early to go snowboarding. What are you willing to do for this next generation of young ladies? What are you and I willing to do for our daughters and for the girls that God brings here? What are we willing to do for the girls that aren't in this church yet? We have a high school right over there. Girls being fed lies day in and day out. They have no idea what God's design is for them. No idea of the purposes of Christ. What will you and I give up? What will you and I do to be a part of God's work for the next generation of women that are going to be raised up for His glory and for their good? You have an opportunity, friends. We have an opportunity as a church. It makes no difference whether you have your own daughters or not. We all have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing, to raise up women who will stand against the lies of the world and say, I have been created by God for His glory and for His purposes. My life has meaning because of who Christ is and what He's done. And I want to fulfill that because that is where my greatest worth, my greatest sense of purpose, my greatest joy is going to come from. It's in Christ and Christ alone. And that's what you and I get to be a part of. It's amazing, isn't it? So may we do it. May we rise up and be a part of the next generation of young ladies who will declare His praises and be followers, be radical followers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, what a task before us, but what a great opportunity. Help us to embrace the amazing role You've given us, entrusted to us, to raise the next generation of girls, of young ladies who will love Jesus for His glory, for their good. And would You be pleased to use us as individuals and as a church family to reach the lost and to see young women redeemed and saved and living joyful, fruitful lives. Oh God, would You do this? You're worthy. May we be captivated by Christ and be propelled forward for the task You give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.